Bill and Allison Mincaro, Saturday morning at 9 on the Hill Country Patriot.
There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will bring it to a whisper. For the next hour, sit quietly and we shall control all that you hear. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
And now, it's time for the radio show that covers just about every topic. Because variety is the spice of life. From the arcane and unusual to current events and practical tips. Because if it's interesting, they'll be talking about it. And now, here's Bill and Allison Mincaro.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you, Harley.
Good morning.
Appreciate the introduction. We are Bill and Allison. And Merry Christmas. It's getting closer and closer, isn't it? Yeah.
I was thinking about starting the show with a Christmas song, but then I was afraid that people might think that we weren't going to be on.
Oh, and that would be a disaster.
Exactly.
People would be so disappointed.
I know.
We don't want to disappoint anybody, especially at Christmas. 8:09 is our Hill Country Patriot time. We always like to begin our show with a verse. This is from the book of Romans, chapter 5. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. We glory in tribulations also. Good lesson on that is the book of Job, which when I've had some tragedies, that's a very comforting book. Thomas Brooks, the Puritan, wrote, "The humble soul seeks more how to glorify God in afflictions than how to get out of them." Mm. The humble soul seeks more how to glorify God in afflictions than how to get out of them.
Well, I have a great quote that's taped to my keyboard, and I just wrote it out for somebody yesterday in an email, and I can't remember it. It's from C.S. Lewis, mm-hmm. And what he said is, do you remember it?
Not vaguely. All right.
What seems like bad things in your life that are happening.
Yeah, they're all part of God's plan.
Yeah.
Stop complaining.
God is sending them to you. They're not interruptions of your life. They are part of
you.
They are your life.
Yeah,
they are your life.
Bad things are not interruptions. They are your life. Yeah, mm-hmm, that's pretty
exactly.
much the gist of the quote.
Right.
Okay. Well, you mentioned Allison Christmas music. And you wanted to play a little bit, and I think we should, because I've got some announcements for Christmas, some things that people need to know about going on in the Texas Hill Country. I knew you were going to play that one.
No, this is something different.
Oh yeah, very similar. Well, Santa's going to be flying into the Gillespie County Airport today, Saturday, December 17th.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, for the Santa fly-in. He'll be landing around 1 p.m. and will be available for photos with kids of all ages.
Is he arriving in his sled?
He's flying in. that'll be interesting. You go out there and see if he flies in his sled or his private jet or whatever it is. The event lasts until 4 p.m. and is free to the public, snacks and drinks, and you are encouraged to bring canned goods, non-perishable food items for donation to the Fredericksburg Food Pantry. There'll be Christmas at the Croc Center today from 9 to noon. The Salvation Army Croc Center celebrates the holidays with the whole family. It's a free event, breakfast, photos with Santa, cookie decorating, etc., etc. Snow on the island today. Tranquility Island in Kerrville at Louise Hayes Park at 5 o'clock. So go out there from 5 to 7:30 today and the rest of the Saturdays in December, which we only have two more. The annual LBJ tree lighting presented by the Lyndon Johnson State Park and Historic Site will be tomorrow, Sunday, at 5:30, and it is free. It's a special tradition started over 50 years ago by President and Mrs. Johnson. And there'll be a lot of holiday stuff going on, and that'll be tomorrow again at 5:30. It'll be story time with Santa today from 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 at the Bandera County Public Library. Pictures with Santa, cookies, and all the trimming. So make sure you get to that. Sunday, tomorrow, Hanukkah lighting at the Kerr County Courthouse. It'll happen at twilight as it's getting dark. And let's see. We have horse-drawn wagon rides with Santa in front of the courthouse in Bandera tonight, Saturday, December 17th. And they'll be going on through December 22nd, which is next Thursday. 6 to 9 p.m. Costs $10 per adult, $5 per child. Kids under 6 can ride free. Well, that's a lot of the things that are going on. Oh, we do have one more that's just been handed to me. My left hand handed it to my right hand. On Saturday, December 17th,
yes,
today.
It's just the two of us in here.
Just today at 11 a.m., a ceremony will be held at the Kerrville National Cemetery in memory of the 4,072 veterans buried there. The cemetery is at Spur 100, just east of the VA hospital. So that'll be today at 11 a.m. at the Kerrville National Cemetery.
And you passed up a job.
At the Kerrville National Cemetery?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I passed up a job. Yes. I was working in Washington, D.C. for a member of Congress, and my congressman lost the election. And I happened to be friends with the head of the Office of Personnel Management, Don Devine. And Don said, well, you want to come to work for the federal government? You, when you're a staffer on Capitol Hill, you're not civil service. It's a completely different thing.
But, it's a political job.
It's a political job. And he said, we have an opening in SES, which is the Senior Executive Service, which is the highest level government service, civil service. And you would be in, he said you'd be in charge of all of the veteran cemeteries around the world. And I always kind of regretted not taking
that
job.
I know. That would have been a lot of fun travel.
A lot of travel and big responsibility. And, you know, being able to honor the veterans and their families. And, yeah, but then I got a job offer from another congressman. And I love the excitement of Capitol Hill and all the political intrigue and all that kind of stuff. So I guess that's probably the reason I didn't do it.
And what we learned is that when you're working for a congressman and he or she loses, and if your party is in power and therefore controlling the Office of Personnel Management, you have a much higher opportunity chance of getting a very good job in the federal, in going over to the federal government.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And as I said, working for Congress as a political job, it's totally different from working for the federal government.
Mm-hmm. It is. Well, today on the Bill and Allison Show, we've got a lot to cover for you, and we're going to be having part four of our interview with Gary Ka. So that will be coming up later in the show. But today, at this moment, got a little story about, what's her name, Brittany
Griner.
Griner, that's it. Brittany Griner.
Assuming she's a she,
I
question.
Well, I saw a picture of her, and I'll tell you, with no shirt on, and it looks like a man's chest to me. So, whatever.
And
she wants to be,
and
fine with me.
Quote unquote, she is 6'9". Have you ever heard of a woman who's 6'9"?
Oh, there have been. There have been, mostly in sideshows, but there have been.
I'm very tall, but I'm not even 6 feet.
Well, Brittany Griner was the one, women's NBA player, basketball player. She was flown home from Russia to San Antonio on a Gulfstream G550 at taxpayer expense.
Just her?
Well, her and her handlers or whatever.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I thought it was a commercial flight.
It was taxpayer expense.
I did not know that.
Gulfstream G550 is, it burns around 400 gallons an hour. Cost per hour to run it is $7,500 an hour.
Wow.
So it's 14 hours of flight time between Moscow and San Antonio, which is where she landed. And of course, you have to get the jet over
there.
Yeah,
she's in the hospital.
Right. That's part of it. She's at Brooks Medical Center, which is taxpayer funded.
Mm-hmm.
So there was, you had to get the plane there first to Moscow. So that's 28 hours total, 14 there, 14 back, at $7,500 an hour. That comes to $210,000. Also, 11,200 gallons of jet fuel was used to pollute our planet. So, you know, only in America can a socialist transgender lesbian who uses drugs and kneels for our national anthem get this treatment, while Marine Paul Whelan is abandoned by our government to rot in a Russian prison. Mm-hmm. And before the election, it's been revealed the Russians had agreed to let Paul Whelan out with her. Mm. But then they switched, knowing Biden is such a wimp that he would... he wouldn't do anything about it.
But you know, his family, because Trump was attacking that move, not letting Whelan out, but letting doing the trade with Griner. Trump was attacking that move, and Whelan's family attacked Trump. They said they didn't think it was so bad. Can you believe that?
They didn't think it was so bad that
right
that he's that, in a Russian prison.
That their son is rotting in Russian prison.
That'll be a wonderful homecoming, won't it? Well, why were so many people more outraged that Brittany Griner was stuck in Russia than they were about hundreds of Americans and thousands of our Afghan allies stranded in Afghanistan? Mm-hmm. And who knows what's happening? But no, this socialist lesbian who kneels, mm-hmm. Takes a knee at the national anthem. Oh my gosh, horrible! She's in Russia. But what about what Biden did in Afghanistan? We swear we're sweeping that under the rug. You know, that's not talked about. Media doesn't talk about that anymore.
Exactly.
8:20 is our Hill Country Patriot time. You're with Bill and Allison this morning.
And thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, we appreciate you. Appreciate you being with us. Well, Henry Cuellar, who is a congressman, Democrat congressman from Texas, as everybody knows. He said that migrants seeking to come to the U.S. get a great deal, and we'll be doing a hotkey on this, Allison.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Henry Cuellar says that migrants seeking to come to the U.S. get a great deal because they only pay for half the trip to get to the border, and the other half of the trip is paid by American taxpayers. Here's Congressman Henry Cuellar.
And the facts are, there's a lot of people coming in. There's a lot of people waiting on the other side of the Rio Grande that are waiting for Title 42 to go away. And you are going to see not thousands, you know, a small amount of thousands, but you're going to see thousands and thousands of people that will be coming over because they're waiting. The criminal organizations are promoting this because the more people that come get across, the more money they make. So they make money off drugs and they make money on smuggling and trafficking people into the United States. And think about what's happening. A migrant, all they have to do is just get to the Texas or the U.S. border. Then after that, taxpayers' dollars are used to get them to their point of, where they want to end up. So it's a great deal. All they have to do is just pay for half of the trip, and the other half of the trip will be paid by American taxpayers. There's a way that you can provide respect and dignity to the people that are coming to the border, but at one time or another, you just got to enforce the law. And if enforcing the law means deporting some people that are not supposed to be here or changing the rules where asylum seekers can seek asylum abroad somewhere or do it in a orderly way coming through our ports of entry instead of in between ports, there are things that we can do. Sending more money for technology, for equipment, for personnel, all that is important. I understand that. But you got to have the right policies in place. I'm a Democrat. I want to be constructive to the administration. I don't just go and visit the border once in a while. I live there. I talk to the men and women there and the communities there. We have to have some changes without a doubt.
All right, that was Congressman Henry Cuellar, Democrat from Texas,
mm-hmm.
very concerned about the borders. He says, I don't just visit it. I live there. Sometimes it's... A good description of America, I think, is Sheriff Andy Taylor has left town and Barney's in charge, you know? Really, really. 8:22, Hill Country Patriot time. You're with Bill and Allison. Well, the Pentagon has failed yet another audit. The Defense Department has only managed to account for 39% of its assets, $3.5 trillion. That's more than $2.1 trillion unaccounted for. The Defense Department is the only U.S. government agency that has never passed a comprehensive audit. Now, they won't allow the Fed to be audited. members of Congress have tried and tried and tried to get the Fed audited. They won't allow that. Doesn't that make you question what's going on at the Fed?
Mm-hmm.
Why won't they submit themselves to an audit?
Exactly.
Why can't Congress force an audit? You know? Well, when you wonder about something, follow the money. So what's going on with Congress, people voting against an audit of the Fed, or not even allowing the bill to be brought to the floor? I mean, we don't let athletes bet on games they have the ability to influence. Why do we allow Congress to invest in companies they regulate? Mm-hmm. Ask yourself that question.
Mm-hmm.
But Pelosi, who has made multi-millions, she and her husband, mm-hmm. Investing in companies on, I have no doubt that it's
insider
stock, trading.
Stock tips.
Insider stock tips, because they know what's going to happen. So they've made multi-millions of dollars. And she was recently, there was a proposal to prohibit members of Congress to invest in companies. They had to be, like in the president, it has to have put his assets in a blind trust, and even he doesn't know how it's being managed. Well, she would not allow that bill to be brought to the floor. She was opposed to that. Duh. Of course she was. Of course she was. Did you hear this one, Allison? With no suspects or motive announced, the FBI is joining into an investigation into power outages in North Carolina, believed to have been caused by what they say are intentional and targeted attacks on electric substations that left around 40,000 customers in the dark. This has just happened this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Intentional.
I did hear about that.
Yeah, intentional. Intentional. It's a criminal investigation. So, I'm hoping that electric utilities are taking proper precautions to prevent terrorism. Because especially these eco-terrorists, you never know what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, they attack things.
this is my favorite Christmas song. And we're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot, and we'll be right back.
We've got a lot of stuff coming up. Reparations. A guy in California is demanding that citizens of California pay every minority, or black person, I guess, $800,000
wow.
per head, or else, he says. So that's coming up. We got our interview with Gary Kah, part four, coming up. We'll be back in just a moment.
Merry Christmas from the Hill Country Patriot.
Welcome back. We're having fun playing all this Christmas music.
Yeah, it is fun. It is fun.
Do you wonder what HEB stands for?
I know what it stands for.
Okay. So I shouldn't do this story?
No, you should. You should do this story. I don't know if you're asking me or the audience.
Well, I'm asking you and the audience.
Well, when I first came to Texas, South Texas, I was born in Dalhart up north, but we don't have HEBs up there. Probably one in Amarillo, but I was...
I, I'll tell you in a minute.
There probably is not one in Denver.
Well,
when I first came here and I saw H-E-B, I thought it said Hebe. And I thought, well, that's kind of an insult. That wouldn't go well. They better not try to expand into Israel.
Exactly. But, okay, so those of you locally in the Hill Country are very familiar with H-E-B. But those in our listening audience outside might not know, H-E-B is our local grocery store, and it's not here everything's better, but it's an abbreviation for Howard E. Butt, who is the son of the store's founder, Florence Butt, who first opened a small grocery store here in Kerrville. It was located in the 800 block of Main Street in Kerrville, and it was originally known as the C.C. Butt Grocery Store. That no longer exists, but Kerrville now has two H-E-Bs, what we call the Big H-E-B and the Little H-E-B. In total, H-E-B has 420 stores, making it the sixth largest private company in the U.S. in 2022. And it recently, and this absolutely shocked me, it recently opened stores in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area. I assumed that they were all over Texas, but apparently not. Even though they have 420, they're down here in South Texas, but they also have more than 50 locations in Mexico. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Since 1997.
Was Howard Butt related to the author of Under the Grandstand, Seymour Butts?
Probably. Okay, there are multiple owners of the H-E-B empire, but the Butt family owns about 90% of the chain. They have an annual revenue of $34 billion. It's the largest private company in Texas and one of the state's largest employers.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I knew it was a large employer. I knew it was one of the largest employers in Texas. The largest privately owned grocery chain in the country.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh. But I was really surprised when I read just a couple weeks ago that they're opening one in Dallas, and then it was the very first one.
Yeah, you'd figure they'd been in Dallas a long time ago.
Yeah, I assumed that they were all over the state. I didn't realize they were just down here in this area.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
8:33 is our Hill Country Patriot time. You are with Bill and Allison. And, little known facts, Allison, I have one about Christmas.
Okay.
Mistletoe, the word... I don't know the language it comes from, but it means... Oh, it's yes, I do. I'm sorry. It comes from... it's an old Anglo-Saxon word, and it means dung on a twig.
No kidding.
Yes, it does. It does. And it spreads through bird droppings.
Well,
so think about that during your next kiss.
Isn't it one of those things that grows in trees?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I forget what the term for that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, like a like those other things. yeah, it's like an air plant or something like that.
Yeah,
what do they call those? Ball something? Ball fungus or something like that.
Yeah.
All right. So how well prepared we are.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Denny's. You know, Denny's is a restaurant is always, you know, It has a motto, we're always open, except the one in Kerrville, which is closed now permanently.
Yeah.
So they're not always open.
Yeah, have you ever heard of a Denny's leaving town?
Yeah.
They left Kerrville.
They left Kerrville.
Maybe it's because we never went.
Yeah, well, I've always said, you know, Denny's has a slogan also, come to Denny's on your birthday and get a free dessert. You know, well, hey, if you're at Denny's on your birthday, your life sucks, man. I mean, really? But anyway, Denny's has this motto, always open. They decided to, the whole national chain said, well, you know, we're always open, but how about give employees Christmas Day off? So they said, okay, 1988, they said all Denny's will be closed. All the employees get a Christmas gift. We're giving you the day off with pay. The only problem was 700 or most of the restaurants, I'd say 700 is most of the restaurants, about 80% of the restaurants, because Denny's was proud that they were always open, never closed, they had no locks on the doors. So they still did it, and corporate shipped locks to all of the locations, 80% that didn't have them. But got to think these things through, guys. You know, think these things through. Well, there's an activist and a political candidate in California, and this week he warned a California state legislative committee on reparations for slavery that he said there's going to be a serious backlash against the until the state agrees to pay $800,000 to every, let's say, eligible recipient. His name is Dion Jenkins. He calls himself a grassroots hip-hop organizer for reparations. Okay, and he said he came up with $800,000 given the average home price in the state. And then, on top of that, he threatened the legislators. Dion Jenkins. Play Reps or Else, Ellison. This is Dion Jenkins.
Either they're going to comply or it's going to be a serious backlash.
Yes.
You hear that? Play it again. This is Dion Jenkins.
They're going to comply or it's going to be a serious backlash.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, now I want to turn to another man who represents, I would say, a much larger part of the black community. He's the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina. His name is Mark Robinson, and this will be the reparations, Allison. And this is what he thinks about reparations.
There are some people that were talking about reparations in this country. They wanted reparations. And I remember I made this particular liberal so angry at me because I told them right to their face, nobody owes you anything for slavery. If you want to tell the truth about it, it is you who owes. It's you who owes. Why do you owe? Because somebody in those fields took stripes for you. Somebody after those fields were ended and slavery was ended, somebody had to walk through Jim Crow for you. Somebody fought wars and died for you. Somebody lived less than because they didn't have what you have, and they did it for you. There are people in their graves right now, and they are there because they were willing to stand up and fight for you. Those folks on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, carrying an American flag, take that, Colin Kaepernick, living in a society that he scarcely acknowledged, something that he has never known, living with a bigotry that none of us can imagine. Carried American flags on that bridge. And when they were hit upside the head with nightsticks and shot with water hoses and knocked to the ground, they got up and picked those flags up and kept marching. And they did it for you. Nobody owes you anything. If anybody owes, it's you. Because after a freedom, you are the one that owes. And what do you owe? You owe it to them to get up off your tail and get to school. And when you get to school, you owe to them to get up off your tail at school and get to work and get some learning in your head. And once you get that schooling in your head and get out of that school, you owe to them to get to work. And then when you get to work and you get married, you owe to them to take care of your children and not let the government take care of your children. It's you who owe. Nobody owes you a single solitary thing.
Well, that was Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, Mark Robinson. And I think we're going to be hearing a lot more from him.
I think so, too.
Yeah, he's very impressive.
He's very, very compelling.
Absolutely. Very impressive. I'd like to see him on a national ticket one of these days. 840, Hill Country Patriot Time. You're with Bill and Allison. And got an announcement from the city of Fredericksburg. City of Fredericksburg residential water customers, there's been a testing that showed some high lead levels. They're not high enough to call an emergency, but just some tests had high lead levels in the water. So what they're recommending is the following. Run water to flush out lead if the tap has not been used for several hours. It's a good idea to run it anyway. Use cold water for cooking and preparing baby formula. You should know that boiling water is not going to remove lead. Consider purchasing bottled water for drinking and cooking, or a water filter that makes sure it takes lead out. And they recommend that you get your child's blood tested for lead level. So that's Fredericksburg, city of Fredericksburg.
I'm buying bottled water.
Well, that's what I said, bottled water. Consider purchasing bottled water. We have a well, but we drink bottled water anyway, because you never know what can contaminate a well, and I'm not going to get it tested every month. So we just drink bottled water. Texas Gun and Knife Show is coming up today. It's going to start in a few minutes and go till 5 o'clock this afternoon, and then tomorrow, Sunday, from 10 to 4. It's going to be at the Youth Event Center in Kerrville.
Ag Barn.
Those us old-timers. I think somebody referred to the Ag Barn the other day. It's still being I think it's part of the facility. It's still called the Ag Barn. And a part of it is called the Happy State Bank Event Center as well. Those are a couple things going on. We'll have more stuff going on, let you know what's going on in Hill Country in just a few minutes. We looked at, here's an interesting factoid. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission estimates there are approximately 15,000 decoration-related emergency room visits each holiday season.
Decoration-related?
Decoration accident.
How does that happen?
Well, I guess, you're outside hanging the lights on the front gutter.
Oh, and you fall?
Yeah.
Fall off the ladder?
Yeah, that could be happen. There are three things that don't hang themselves. One is Christmas decorations, and the other is drywall, and the other is Jeffrey Epstein.
that never gets old.
Oh.
Did you know that wokeness is lowering standards, dumbing down education?
I wouldn't doubt it at all.
Kansas State University is no longer teaching algebra because it's too hard. If it's not required in the field you're in, it's not necessary to learn.
Wow. Isn't well, it's incredible? It's racist, too. That's the thing. Yeah. Algebra is racist because it was white men that first invented it. Obviously, that makes it racist.
Well, I was going to say the assumption is that black people are too stupid to learn it.
Yeah, really? Isn't that something?
I mean, that's what's that's what's racist.
Well, yeah, you scratch a leftist and you'll find a racist.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Well, speaking of wokeness, I'm glad you brought that up, Allison. I got a story.
Thank you.
Got a story. The Cambridge Dictionary and Merriam-Webster dictionaries. Okay.
Yeah, I think I read that.
They're getting woke.
I read that.
They've changed the definition of women to appease transgender radicals.
I was shocked about the Cambridge Dictionary.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that Merriam-Webster's done the same thing.
It too. The Cambridge Dictionary says the definition for woman now includes this definition, quote, an adult who lives and identifies as female, though they have been said... remember, the dictionary chooses their words very carefully. This is not an accident. An adult who lives and identifies as female, though they have been said to have a different sex at birth.
Yeah, isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
Just incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Before, their definition of woman was an adult female human being. Okay. I have a question. Question for you, Allison.
Yes?
Why is it when archaeologists find human remains, they always determine they're either male or female, and none of the other hundreds of genders? Why is that?
I heard somebody on TV commenting, and they were laughing, but they were serious, that some facility has like 96 different genders.
Oh, I think, yeah. I mean, this is, okay. I won't editorialize. I'll say the facts. 8:45, Hill Country Patriot Time. You're with Bill and Allison on our pre-Christmas Eve show. We're going to be on the air next Saturday, which is Christmas Eve. We're going to have a special Christmas Eve show.
Yes.
With all sorts of fun things.
We'll be playing lots of Christmas music.
Christmas music and fun Christmas facts and maybe a visit from Santa Claus. Maybe. Yeah. Can't hear that very well. It's not working. Gotta take the whole thing. Got four bells on it. We brought in some jingle bells, and Allison's learning how to operate them. There you go. Maybe a visit from Santa Claus. There we go. Just maybe. So make sure you join us from 8 to 10 next Saturday morning, Christmas Eve morning. And, of course, there'll be, as Harley said, there'll be a special Christmas play, I guess you'd call it, coming up Christmas Eve. I believe it's at 6 o'clock right here on Patriot Radio. Well, speaking of genders and all that, this should be News of the Weird. Do we have our intro for News of the Weird?
Let's see. Is that the Twilight Zone?
Yeah.
You're traveling through another dimension.
Oh, we are indeed. You live in the world, you're traveling through another dimension.
A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. Your next stop, the Twilight Zone.
Okay, so Bill has some News of the Weird.
Yeah, we have this segment called News of the Weird, and it's just the most bizarre stories that we found recently. Democratic California Congresswoman Katie Porter said this past Wednesday during a congressional hearing that the term pedophile should be banished because it brands people as criminals.
Wow.
I thought pedophilia was a crime.
Yeah.
It brands people as criminals. Why? Because of their sexual orientation. Now you can add pedophilia to your sexual orientation.
Wow.
According to her. She also said the phrase groomer is a lie. Let's see. She said phrases like groomers and pedophiles, this is a quote, are used to describe people that are mothers and fathers.
Oh, I have a good grooming story. Okay. Next hour.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Used to describe people that are mothers and fathers. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't my mother or father to be a pedophile. Thank you very much. it's dangerous. She said, quote, the phrase pedophile, groomers, they're meant to dehumanize people. Well, as far as I'm concerned, a pedophile is a subhuman. She says, quote, you know this allegation of groomer and pedophile, it's alleging that a person is criminal somehow and engage in criminal acts merely because of their gender identity, their sexual orientation. So now being a pedophile is part of your gender identity. And you wonder why we call this News of the Weird? So now it's a human right for somebody to identify as a pedophile. And if you say that's wrong, you're basically committing a crime. You're endangering them. This is News of the Weird, I'll tell you. So remember that name, Congresswoman Katie Porter. Maybe we can get rid of her. Where? Sandy's here? Santa Claus.
Coming up on the break, I'm going to expand on what Bill was just talking about.
Well, Sandy.
Groomers.
Groomers? Well, Santa Claus is going to be, we hope, next Saturday he's going to join us. He'll be our very special guest.
Here comes Santa Claus.
We're Bill and Allison. We'll be back after this short break.
Merry Christmas from the Hill Country Patriot.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, hillcountrypatriot.com, 104.3 and 102.1. And you can hear us anytime. First couple of texasradio.com.
Yeah, that's where we post our shows. And so if you missed a show and you want to hear it or maybe hear it again, or you can hear part of it, you can fast forward it to any part you like. And you can download it to your favorite device and go jogging, walking, play it in the car, whatever it is. So play it on your headphones while you're biking. So that's first couple of texasradio.com. 8:54 Hill Country Patriot time on a beautiful December 17th.
Mm-hmm.
It's gorgeous out there.
It's cool. But
yeah.
I'm wearing a heavy sweatshirt today.
But it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous out there.
Well, Bill was talking about grooming last segment, and I ran across a very interesting website, and I want to read from their website. And they're called Gays Against Groomers. And they oppose the mutilation and sterilization of minors. And they have a photo of a girl who's had a young girl who's had her breasts removed. They oppose drag and pride events involving children. They oppose queer and gender theory taught in the classroom. It's a coalition of gay people who oppose the recent trend of propagandizing and indoctrinating, sexualizing, and medicalizing children under the guise of LGBTQIA+. And I'm reading from their website. It's a lot more information than I can actually remember, so I'm reading it. And they say, our community that once preached love and the acceptance of others, and that's gay community, has been hijacked by radical activists who are now pushing extreme concepts onto society, specifically targeting children in recent years. The overwhelming majority of gay people are against what the community has transformed into, and we do not accept the political movement pushing their agenda in our name. Gays Against Groomers directly opposes the sexualization and indoctrination of children. This includes drag queen story hours, drag shows involving children, the transitioning and medicalization of minors, and gender theory being taught in the classroom. The activists, backed by school boards, government, woke media, and corporations, have been speaking on our behalf for too long. When fighting for equality, our goal was to successfully integrate ourselves into society, but now these radicals aim to restructure it entirely in order to accommodate a fringe minority, as well as to seek to indoctrinate children into their ideology. We are saying no. There are millions of gays within the community that want nothing to do with this alphabet religion. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And join the fight with parents and concerned people everywhere to protect children. We also aim to return sanity and reclaim the community we once called our own. The gay community is not a monolith. Those pushing this agenda do not represent or speak for us all, nor do we want to be associated with them in any way. What we are witnessing is mass-scale child abuse being perpetrated on an entire generation, and we will no longer sit by and watch it happen.
What's the website address again?
It's gaysagainstgroomers.com.
We have a gay friend. I don't, you know, agree with that, but we have, you know, he's a good friend, and he's totally against all this grooming and, mm-hmm. and mutilation of mm-hmm. children and gender identity stuff and all mm-hmm. that. You know, here's a question for you, Allison. Why is it okay to talk about sexuality to kindergartners at school? That's considered education, but talking sexually in the workplace is sexual harassment.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Adult to adult.
Yeah, adult to adult, that's a crime, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But adult to children, oh no, that's education. Mm-hmm. That's education. Well, as far as I'm concerned, you know, if an 18-year-old isn't mature enough to own a firearm, 5-year-olds aren't mature enough to change their gender.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, and what Seth Dillon, who's the CEO of Babylon Bee, just recently tweeted out, he said, no one would be talking about drag queens if drag queens weren't performing for children. I mean, drag queens have been around forever.
Oh, that's a good point.
For a long time.
That's a good point. You know, they were never in the news before.
Well, exactly. And
or honored at the White House.
Yeah, and what he went on to say is, everybody loves the movie The Birdcage. It was out a while ago. It was originally in French. It was La Cage aux Folles, and it was about a drag queen. I believe it was wasn't it Robin Williams?
Robin Williams was in it. I didn't see it.
I think I yes, you have. I think he was. There were a bunch of. The point of the show is it was about a guy who owns a drag nightclub.
Oh, well, in Miami. I forgot that.
I think we should rent it again.
Okay, you can rent it again.
But my point is, what Seth Dillon said is that the reason we're talking about it is because they're performing for children.
You mean the drag queens today are performing for children?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they have drag queen story hour. Well, tell them a story about who wrote the Christian book?
Kirk Cameron.
Okay.
Wrote a Christian book, and he wanted to read it in public libraries. And about, I forget the number, something like 50. Or
I think it was about 50. 50 public libraries.
Turned him down. But the same libraries are having drag queen hour.
Yeah. That tells you where their head's coming from. Well, as we promised, we're going to have Gary Cobb on in the second hour of our show. Gary has predicted so many things that are coming true today, and he did it years ago. I read two of his books, golly, 15 years ago, and I thought, wow, this is hard to believe, but it's all coming true today. You know, it's hard to believe conspiracy theories because they all come true. So that's what we're going to do, part of what we're going to do in the next hour.
Okay.
As we come back. Be sure to stay with us, Bill and Allison. And we're going to have the news. And when we come back, we're going to have more events in Hill Country coming up.
KRNH HD2, Kerrville. K271CH, Fredericksburg. K2A2BI, Kerrville. The Hill Country Patriot.
A Hill Country Patriot.
Now, the first couple of Texas radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
We are back. 9:06 Hill Country Patriot time. And it is Christmas is coming up fast, and we have lots of events going on in the Texas Hill Country. And to look forward to. We're also doing a very special Christmas Eve show next Saturday morning, starting at 8 o'clock. So I want you to join us then, please, because I think you'll find it fun, and we just might get a visit from Santa. You never know. Might get a visit from Santa. But we have events coming up. Oh, is that Santa? That's his reindeer flying over. Okay. He's coming. Well, he's probably... That's what you hear because he's flying into the Gillespie County Airport today. He's landing, so probably that was him flying over on his way to the airport.
It's just down the road from our studio.
He's going to be landing around 1 o'clock, and he'll be available for photos with kids, and that'll be until 4 o'clock. It's all free. There'll be snacks and drinks, but we ask that you bring canned goods and non-perishable food items for donation to the Fredericksburg Food Pantry. And Christmas at the Croc is today in Kerrville from 9 to noon. The Salvation Army Croc Center will celebrate the holidays with the whole family at this free event. And so that's started just 7 minutes ago. But it'll go till noon, so you can still stay with us, Bill and Allison, at Hill Country Patriot, and then go to the Croc Center for Christmas fun. Tranquility Island in Kerrville is having snow on the island today at 5 o'clock. Great location for families and friends to celebrate the holidays. That'll go till 7:30 today and the next two Saturdays in December. The annual LBJ tree lighting will be tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. That's Sunday, presented by the LBJ State Park and Historic Site, just past Stonewall on 290. That's a special tradition. It was started over 50 years ago by President and Mrs. Johnson, and there'll be... all sorts of things, carolers, a live nativity, Santa Claus, refreshments, and tree lighting. And today in Bandera, it's story time from 10:30 to 11:30 this morning at the library. Pictures with Santa, cookies, crafts, and time to write a letter to Santa to put in your mailbox. There'll be horse-drawn wagon rides with Santa in Bandera as well in front of the courthouse tonight through December 22nd, which is next Thursday. And they go on from 6 to 9 p.m. And there's a modest charge, but kids that are under 6 years old get to ride free with Santa. At the Bandera National History Museum, there'll be the Happy Tales Entertainment and Petting Zoo today from 11 to 1. Come visit Santa and see the secret workshop. Also, let's see, tomorrow the 18th of December, there'll be a Hanukkah lighting at the Kerr County Courthouse, and that'll happen when it is dark. Today at 11 a.m., a ceremony is going to be held at the Kerrville National Cemetery. It's part of the National Wreaths Across America that, if you were listening to the news, they just mentioned that. There are 472 veterans buried at the National Cemetery in Kerrville, and that's on Spur 100 just east of the Veterans Hospital. So go there at 11 a.m. today to the Kerrville National Cemetery and honor the veterans that is part of Wreaths Across America. Texas Gun and Knife Show today in Kerrville at the Youth Event Center, Ag Barn, from 9 to 5 Saturday and tomorrow 10 to 4. And there'll be a farmer's market in Kerrville, again, from 9 to 1 today. That'll be at the River Hill Mall in front of Penny's or inside Penny's if they decide it's too cold or whatever. Also, the Junction City Park and the Comfort City Park. Farmer's markets from 9 to 12. Please patronize farmer's markets. You buy locally. You can buy fresh. You don't have to worry about what they've done to the foods. Buy as much as you can from local farmers, arts and craftsmen and women. That's something that I think is extremely important. Keeps them in business and keeps you healthy. 9:10 is our Hill Country Patriot time. Well, I promised Gary Kah would be back with his fourth interview. I don't have to say much about Gary because this is a recorded interview, and Allison and I did the introduction on the recording. But Gary is we've heard from several listeners who have listened to the past three interviews, and they say he is one of the very best guests we've ever had. He's an amazing
guy.
He's
absolutely fascinating. We talked to him for over an hour, which is why we broke it up into several segments for the show.
We're talking with Gary Kah, our very special guest. He is the author of numerous books bringing a biblical perspective to world events. He's been on the Bill and Allison Show before, and we're happy to invite him back. His website is garykah.org, garykah.org. And Gary, in some previous interviews with you, we've talked about some of the key global players in the World Economic Forum and some of these people, what they're doing behind the scenes, Klaus Schwab and some names that may be familiar to some people in our audience. I'm interested in going more to that, how they're going to introduce their plans, particularly a global currency. How are they going to affect those details?
Yeah, ultimately, that's one of their goals, is to have a single global currency unit or currencies of different nations, but that all tie into the exact same weighted system. But sooner or later, they're going to try to introduce this. But it goes back to an executive order that Biden signed. It was Executive Order 14067 back on March 9th regarding digital assets to pave the way for this new system. So the executive order has laid the groundwork. It's just a matter of time now. And it's my personal belief that there has to be a major slowdown or collapse of the U.S. economy for them to make that move. So if they're going to do it anytime soon, then a lot would have to happen.
Well, it's important. Isn't it important to clarify that we're not just talking about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies that people are familiar with, right?
Correct. Correct. This is going to be something completely new that would supersede all of that. It could have a crypto element in it, but it wouldn't necessarily have to. What we do know for sure is that it would be an electronic monetary unit, and that they want to get rid of all cash as quickly as possible. So, you know, when this time comes, I imagine they would have to give people a certain period of time to turn in their cash, and they'd be given certain credit toward an electronic monetary unit. I don't know if that would be 3 weeks or 3 months or what, but it wouldn't be very long. It would unfold pretty quickly based on everything we're hearing. But if this new all-digital system were permitted to move forward, it would represent the loss of any remaining privacy that we have as citizens, and that's my biggest concern. Physical cash inherently provides a measure of freedom, and without it, the globalist socialist powers would know our every transaction and therefore our every move. They'd be able to control and dictate every facet of our lives, and that to me is very dangerous. The new U.S. monetary unit would link into a global system that will accept only electronic payments. And as I mentioned already, some economists believe that in order for this type of a system to be introduced and fully accepted, our current system would have to be intentionally collapsed or at the very least be brought to a standstill through some type of economic financial crisis. And if this were to be the case in order for a new system to be rolled out within the next couple of months, then that would mean there would have to be a major shaking between now and then. Regardless of how it's eventually introduced, we do know that the world is being pushed in this direction because more than 100 countries are currently exploring or piloting central bank digital currencies. They're called CBDCs. More than 100 countries, major countries, are already on board. They're moving in this direction. So all we need is some type of a slowdown or collapse, and that would present the perfect opportunity for them to introduce it. In our fall issue, before the election, I urged our readers to intercede in prayer on behalf of our nation on three fronts. I said, first, for a favorable outcome in the elections. Well, conservatives did take back the House, just barely, and there were a few other major victories around the country, but for the most part, it wasn't a sweeping red wave as some thought it would be. But the second thing I asked for people to pray for was that Biden would be prevented from declaring martial law if there's an economic collapse. And thirdly, to make it impossible to introduce a cashless system at this time. Because if that happens, once that happens, things will unfold, I believe, at a lightning pace. And it's going to be completely irreversible. So something still to be praying into. A lot of people want to give up and stop praying, but we can't do that. We've got to take a stand and keep fighting this as long as we can. If we stop, it'll just come about that much more quickly. And some people say, well, we do know how it's all going to end, and we do know the Lord is in control, and he's going to return and put a stop to this at some point. But having said that, you know, as the son of parents who went through World War II, my father fled from the communists in Croatia at age 12, and then he fled from the Nazis in Austria at age 13. Within the space of less than 1 year, he and his family, they gave up everything they had to try to remain a free people. Nobody wants to be caught up in all of this. And once it happens, you wish that it wasn't the way it was, because persecution of Christians is going to follow. I guarantee you that. If socialists are in control, it's very predictable what will happen. And so it's better to take a stand now and push back on all this rather than just give up and just, you know, let it all come and then complain about it and go through these difficult times. It's going to happen eventually. I believe that. But I believe if there was a mass repentance in this country, even at this late hour, it could still be held back for a period of time.
We've been speaking with Gary Kaw, who's the author of numerous books, Bringing a Biblical Perspective to World Government.
World events.
I'm sorry.
World government too, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Gary, tell us something about your newsletter.
Yeah, it's actually a research news journal. It's about 20 pages. Every 4 months we put this out. We've got some of the top researchers in the world that write articles for us, and I typically write the lead article. And we do this because it's really the only way we can stay in touch with all the people interested in this subject matter. Because if I took the time to write another book, by time it would be finished, it'd be out of date. Things are just moving too quickly now. And so we try to go behind the scenes through the contacts that the Lord has blessed us with around the world that we've gained over the last 30 years of doing this and bring to you news and information that you're just not going to get through the mass media. And so we do our best with God's help to stay on top of this and deceptive times.
And how can people find out about your newsletter?
Yeah, you can go to our website, GaryCaw.org. You can subscribe there, and you can also get my two books there, and Roots of Global Occupation and The New World Religion. Both of those books are full of documents that we've reproduced in them to prove that we're telling the truth, that we're not just pulling this information out of thin air. And those books help lay a biblical foundation to understand the current events, the major developments going on in our world right now. And then our quarterly publication, Hope for the World Update, is what keeps people up to date on this. So we really encourage people to subscribe. In doing so, you help us to exist and to continue to do what we do. And we really appreciate your help. And once you have it, make copies, get it out to people. We just want to get this message out as quickly as possible because there's so much at stake.
Thank you, Gary. Yeah.
I would encourage every one of our listeners to go to the website and to subscribe to Gary's journal and also read his books.
And his website, again, is GaryKah.org, and that's GaryKah.org.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too.
Come on, it's lovely weather. We're Bill and Allison. We will be right back. I've got some more information on electric vehicles.
And I'm going to be talking about reasons to rejoice.
Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go. Let's look at the show.
Lows in the lower 30s, and then Sunday looks pretty nice. A mix of sunshine and clouds. We will stay cool, though, or high in the mid-50s.
Merry Christmas from the Hill Country Patriot.
I just love all this Christmas music.
Me too.
I really like having the opportunity to play it. Well, I told you I was going to be talking about electric vehicles. So far this year, electric vehicles represent almost 7% of U.S. car sales, more than double the rate from 2 years ago, as motorists in California and along the East Coast rushed to pick up all the new electric vehicle offerings from automakers like Ford and Tesla. But in states like Texas, the market isn't quite so charged. In 2022, just 4.3% of car sales in Texas were electric, compared with 19% in California. Electric vehicle sales are rising in Texas, but convincing Texans to go electric carries particular difficulty since many electric vehicles can't travel more than 200 miles without a charge. And many Texans consider driving a few hundred miles a day a regular part of life. I mean, we have friends who do that.
Mm-hmm.
There are two different trains of thought out there. There's a client who finds an EV a novelty and wants to be a part of it. And this is a car dealer in the Dallas area, or the Houston area. And he said, but if they want to drive to Dallas or Amarillo, they're not going to take their EV. And this guy owns three dealerships in the Houston area, and he sells electric Hummers. I didn't know Hummers were even made anymore. But the other Texans say, no way, no how am I going to buy an EV? I have a highway mileage sign that explains why Texans are not crazy to buy electric vehicles. When you're entering the state from the east on I-10, the sign says Beaumont, 23 miles, El Paso, 857 miles. And so if you have a vehicle that only gets 200 miles, you're going to have to be charging it a whole lot. But the Texas Department of Transportation is trying to ease that anxiety. They have plans to build fast charging stations every 50 to 70 miles along Texas interstates over the next 5 years, using more than $400 million tax dollars. $400 million from the infrastructure law approved by Congress last year. How about that $400 million?
Wow. Wow. You know, the mind boggles when you hear things like that. But, Allison, I have a question for you. If your electric vehicle runs out of power on the interstate, do you walk to a charging station to get a bucket of electricity?
Exactly. Yeah. Ford has already released an electric version of the F-150, which is the best-selling vehicle in America. And they have their long waiting lists at dealerships in Texas. But as Bill pointed out last week on this show, Ford is suggesting to owners of the F-150 to use the heat as little as possible. It's okay to use your heated seats and heated steering wheel. But if you use your air conditioning or your heat, it's going to deplete the battery.
Duh. Well, did you know that Switzerland is thinking about banning the use of electric cars for non-essential purposes?
No.
Because they have an energy crisis.
That's interesting.
This is a measure that they are considering, and it's already been written up, so it'll probably happen. And this is from it, quote, "The private use of electric cars is only permitted for absolutely necessary journeys such as professional practice, shopping, visiting a doctor, attending religious events." I'm surprised they say that's necessary. "Attending court appointments." So, yet all these governments want us to trade in our gas vehicles for electric vehicles.
Yeah.
And then they tell us, well, don't turn on the heat and don't drive them except for essential purposes. And, oh, by the way, we're having a rolling blackout, so you can't charge your, please don't charge your vehicles because you'll deplete the energy grid.
Well, and also dealers in Texas are hearing concerns from pickup truck customers that hauling trailers or boats will reduce the EV's range.
Oh, we did a story on that not too long ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it drastically reduces the range of your, like, obviously. Mm-hmm. Drastically, because it pulls more.
So the dealer said the average user buys them because they look cool. They're not hauling hay.
Well, I have a word picture for you. Okay.
Oh, is that the green car? Green truck?
No, but it could be.
Okay. If you're not going to be doing that, I will.
You should. Go ahead.
This is a visual, but I will explain it to you. There is a sign in a parking lot, and it said, "Green vehicles only." And there was a green pickup truck parked in there that you know is not electric.
There you go.
But it was
green vehicles only.
It was a big old pickup truck.
I love that. Okay, well, here's my word picture. Just think about this. Put it in your mind now. Visualize it. A 20-room mansion, not including 8 bathrooms, plus a Olympic-sized pool, plus a pool house, plus a separate guest house. In natural gas alone, this property consumes more than 20 times the national average of an American home. And it's not situated in a northern or midwestern snowbelt area. It's in the south. It's in Tennessee. It belongs to the great environmental activist Al Gore. Mm-hmm. Al Gore often claims he lives a carbon-free lifestyle. Well, an analysis by the National Center for Public Policy Research found that Gore's Tennessee home guzzles more electricity in 1 year than the average American family uses in 21 years.
How about that?
Electricity used just to heat Al Gore's swimming pool would power 6 average homes for a year.
Isn't he the energy czar? Green energy czar?
Isn't that Kerry?
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot.
I get those two mixed up all the time.
I do, too.
Yeah. I mean, that's... I heard that Biden bumped into John Kerry in the White House, and he thought he'd hit a log. I mean, the guy is humorless. Anyway, that's Al Gore's home, so his climate change hypocrisy is as big as his energy sucking mansion. I mean, if Gore really believed what he preaches about the horrors of climate change, he'd tear down his mansion, drain his pool, and stop flying around the world in a private jet. I don't know. The most powerful government on Earth can't stop a virus from spreading, but they say they can change the temperature of the Earth only, but you have to pay more taxes. That's how they'll do it. Yeah. Okay. 9:32 Hill Country Patriot time.
Well, there's a game show called Dog Eat Dog, and the host asks the contestant, if I travel at 60 miles an hour, how far do I travel in 10 minutes? The contestant answered, 200,000 miles.
Oh, my. I have something about Santa's travel here somewhere. Oh, yeah. Santa would have to travel an average speed to hit each household on Christmas Eve. Somebody figured out he'd have to travel an average speed of 5.083 million miles per hour to hit every household. Boy, he's amazing. We'll have to ask him about that because next Saturday we're looking forward to having Santa on our show. So I will ask him specifically, or you should, Allison,
okay,
about that. Yeah.
While you're talking about Santa,
mm-hmm,
I have a picture of Santa with a little child on his lap, and Santa says, "What would you like for Christmas?" And that little girl says, "A unicorn." Santa says, "Be realistic." The little girl says, "A government that doesn't violate my rights and plunder my wealth." Santa says, "What color unicorn?"
Yeah, ain't gonna get that. 9:34 with Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot time. I have some reasons to rejoice. I promise that because Gary Kaa is very accurate, but it's scary stuff. If you heard his interview that we just played. This is a friend of ours who's been on the show before, Franklin Sanders, who's the money changer, they call him, and his website is the_moneychanger.com. He's got a lot of good articles on there. Well, this is one of them, and it's not too long. And I thought, particularly given the season, I thought it'd be good that you'd enjoy it. He says that there's enough bad news and tyranny in the news every day to put even Candide into a permanent depression. But cheer up, there's good news you all may be overlooking. First, the COVID global coup and genocide brought one splendid, magnificent result. It flushed out the freedom fighters. It drew a line across society between liars and totalitarians and slaves on one side and truth tellers and freedom lovers on the other. About one third of the population, the slaves, will unthinkingly do whatever the government orders. About one third are so wishy-washy they will follow or fight according to whom they're listening to at the time. And about one third will stand up and say, "No, I'll fight your lies if it costs me my career, my reputation, even my life." For all governments and the mainstream media persecuted and vilified those brave physicians, scientists, political leaders, and others who exposed their lies and schemes, but they never backed down. There are too many to even mention, from Dr. Robert Malone to Pam Popper, to list them. God bless them all. I've never seen such a zeal for truth and freedom in my lifetime, and it hasn't stopped by a long shot. It will only grow. We might mention our friend Dr. Mark McDonald in that group as well. Next, popular protests in communist China recently forced the Chinese Communist Party to remove its lethal COVID lockdown policy, or back off on it, anyway. Now, think about this. To oppose the government in China means literally to risk your life, not merely risk getting canceled on Facebook or Twitter. For the first time, even the Chinese Communist Party has backed down. So God has many surprises. Maybe the Chinese might throw out the communists altogether. A lot of China experts are saying that. Their economy's in shambles. And people are now rioting against the government, unheard of in China before. So who would have thought we would ever see this? Third, it appears that popular protests against the Iranian morality police who enforce the dress code on women may be disbanded. Protests began in September after 22-year-old Mahsa Amini was arrested for not wearing a headscarf, died in police custody from a police beating.
Wow.
So finally, and best of all, after 49 years and 60 million children murdered, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, which legitimated, but never could legalize, abortion in 1973. Who could have imagined it would be overthrown? But it was. So in the teeth of all the murders, lunacy, self-destruction, and tyranny that seemed to be taking over society, something else, something divine, is afoot. So that's Franklin Sanders. Again, his website is themoneychanger.com. THE_moneychanger.com. And he's got a lot of good articles on that, and that's one of them. And I thought it's reasons to rejoice. And we have some Christmas music to rejoice to. And this is our opportunity to play it.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh.
And we'll be right back.
Bill and Allison.
Yep, HillCountryPatriot.com.
We're going to be talking about some security issues on flights. And we've got some Christmas oddities for you as well. Right after the break.
Hear Bill O'Reilly, 6 a.m. and 10:45 weekdays.
Some sun and some clouds for the Hill Country today. We have a stationary front over southern Texas. Our high about 55 at Kerrville, Junction 58 and 52 at Harper. Tonight, partly cloudy, our lows in the lower 30s, and then Sunday looks pretty nice. A mix of sunshine and clouds. We will stay cool, though, our high in the mid-50s.
Merry Christmas from the Hill Country Patriot.
More of our Christmas music.
Yeah.
We're getting that time of year. Getting in the mood.
For sure. We're going to be doing a very special Christmas Eve show next Saturday, so be sure to join us from 8 to 10 in the morning. We're going to have even maybe a visit from Santa. there you go. You know, Harley was talking about some little Christmas facts that you may not have known. I've got a few. If you're tired of the same old boring Christmas games, and this, when I was listening to Harley, this reminded me of this little factoid. Break out the Victorian era classic Snapdragon, the Christmas game.
I don't think I know that.
You don't know Snapdragon? Well, here's how it works. You soak a bowl full of raisins in brandy. You set it on fire. Then you take turns pulling out handfuls and swallowing them whole. I'm kidding. That's not a joke. It's a Victorian era Christmas game in England.
Well, while we're talking about Christmas, last year Walmart was red in the face because they're blaming it on Canada, but apparently it was a third-party seller put a Christmas sweater on Walmart's website, and it says, "Let it snow," and there are snowflakes on it, and there's a picture of a crazed-looking Santa with a straw in his hand and three lines of cocaine in front of him.
Oh, good night.
And
that was sold at Walmart?
Yeah.
Online?
Online. And the description, Walmart says, well, it was being sold by a third party.
So nobody... Hey, Walmart, nobody monitors your site? You don't have a webmasters or anything like that?
Yeah, and the description of it says, the best snow comes straight from South America.
Oh, my God.
And Santa usually likes to savor the moment when he gets his hands on some quality grade A Colombian snow.
Oh, and that was on the Walmart site.
Yeah.
Good.
Somebody brought it to their attention, finally.
Well, this week, credit card industry representatives have cleared the way for a new way to track your firearm and ammunition purchases.
Oh.
Yeah. A credit card merchant account, they're called merchant category codes for certain things. You know, 5999 miscellaneous retail store or 5941 sporting goods store. These are the codes that credit card companies use to identify the type of store. Well, previously it's been when you buy ammunition or buy a gun at a store, it's that you're just lumped in as 5999 miscellaneous retail or 5941 sporting goods. It doesn't say you bought a gun. That's going to all change now. They're created a separate category for firearms purchases, for ammunition purposes. So they, you know, it's one way to track, you know, it's one way to bring gun control.
Oh, would that be if you bought it at Walmart?
Bought it at any store with a credit card.
Oh, okay.
Bought it at any store with a credit card.
Okay.
On that same subject, Gallup, the pollster, just discovered, you know, doing surveys, 46% of Americans, almost half the country, have a gun in their home. It's that high. It's interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He also broke it down politically. Gallup did. 66% of Republicans live in a home with a gun. 31% of Democrats live in a home with a gun. They'd rather call 911.
Did you grow up with guns in your home?
No, I did not. I did not.
I
take that back. My dad had his shotguns for hunting.
Right. Okay.
So I guess I did. Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I didn't think about that.
My father did not have guns.
Didn't have a shotgun for hunting or anything.
No, yeah. He didn't. Wasn't a hunter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my dad had he gave me a 410 when I was a kiddo for Christmas, and we'd go out and shoot birds basically. I take that back. We did have a gun. I was saying, did we have a pistol at every doorway and things like that? No,
like,
we don't.
Like we do.
Exactly. no joke.
So you don't want to break into our house.
No, you don't. I mean, what did I read somewhere? The average response time of a 9/11 call is 23 minutes. The average response time of a 357 is 1,400 feet per second.
That's good.
Yeah. In this Gallup survey, people making $100,000 or more a year in income have the highest percentage of personal gun ownership.
Hmm.
The wealthier you are, the more likely it is you're going to own a gun. Only 22% of those earning less than $40,000 a year personally owned a gun. I saw a movie where only the police and military had guns. It was called Schindler's List.
Yep.
Well, there's some rules about gunfighting that I wanted to go over.
Okay.
Somebody once said, peace is that brief, glorious moment in history when everybody stands around reloading. That's the definition of peace. In a gunfight, the most important rule is, have a gun. In the movie, what was it? The movie about Al Capone with Kevin Costner and Sean Connery. Sean Connery says to this guy who tries to attack him with a knife, he says, well, isn't that just like, I'm quoting now, I'm not saying this, but it's a slur, but he says, can I do Sean Connery? I don't think I've ever tried.
That was not it.
No, thank you so much. That was not it. Well, I shouldn't practice on the air, should I? Anyway,
no,
Sean Connery says, isn't that just like a wop to bring a knife to a gunfight? And that's the line from the week, folks. I'm just quoting. But the following are shooting tips from various concealed carry instructors. If you own a gun, you'll like these rules. If you don't own a gun, I think you should get one. You'll learn how to use it. Always know how to use it. Don't get a gun and don't get training. Always get training, and learn the rules. Okay, here are some of them. And these are shooting tips from various concealed carry instructors. Guns have only two enemies, rust and politicians. Rust can be prevented, politicians cannot. It's always better to be judged by 12 than carried out by 6. Cops carry guns to protect themselves, not you. I'm not sure I agree with that. Never let someone or something that threatens you get within 7 yards. Never say, I've got a gun. Again, these are tips from concealed carry instructors. Never say, I've got a gun. If you need to use deadly force, the first sound they should hear is the safety clicking off or the hammer cocking. The most important rule in a gunfight is always win. There's no such thing as a fair fight when you're with guns. Always win. Cheat if necessary. Second place doesn't count. Make your attacker advance through a wall of bullets. You may get killed with your own gun, but they'll have to beat you to death with it because it'll be empty. If you're in a gunfight, if you're not shooting, you should be reloading. If you're not reloading, you should be moving. If you're not moving, you're dead. in a life and death situation, do something. It might be wrong, but do something. Again, these are tips from concealed carry instructors. If you carry a gun, people will call you paranoid. Hey, if you've got a gun, what do you have to be paranoid about? I love that. Never fire a warning shot. That's just one wasted bullet which you might need. You can say stop or any other word, but a large bore muzzle pointed at someone's head is pretty much a universal language. You can't save the planet, finally. You can't save the planet, but you may be able to save yourself and your family if you have a gun and know how to use it.
That's important.
As I said earlier, I think I said this earlier in the show, an 18-year-old isn't mature enough to own a gun, but a 5-year-old is mature enough to change their gender. How about that? 9:50 is our Hill Country Patriot time. You're with Bill and Allison.
Well, we've been talking a lot about Christmas, and Joe Biden's inflation is affecting charities. People,
well, I'm not surprised. People can't afford.
Aren't able to give as much.
People can't afford as much.
So if you are able, and Bill and I were just talking about during the break about some charities that we want to support before the end of the year. So, So think about that if you're able.
Well, don't forget, charities are tax deductible, mm-hmm. so you can write that off your income tax. Mm-hmm. So it's a good way to, end of the year now. You have until December 31 to do it. So pick out some of your favorite charities. I personally, you can do what you want, but personally, we like to give to, if it's going to be a tax deductible thing, give it to a smaller charity that will appreciate it. And you can go to charitywatch.com and find out. Okay. It'll tell you, okay, you type in the name of a charity, how much of their money goes to fundraising? How much of their money goes to salaries? What are the top officials make per year at this charity? And they rate them, A, B, C, or whatever the rating system is. I don't remember. But is this a charity that takes my money and just spends it on salaries?
And fundraising? Well, for example, here in Kerrville, we support the Pregnancy Resource Center and also Echo Hill, which is a camp for kids of Gold Star families. And we know the people who run both of those organizations, and we know they're not spending their money on fundraising.
We have checked them out very carefully, and we know exactly where the money's going. You give the money to Echo Hill, or you give the money to the Pregnancy Resource Center, and it goes toward their missions, not in their pockets.
Exactly.
So, 9:52 is our Hill Country Patriot time with Bill and Allison, and we're talking about Christmas stuff. I have a couple of things about Japanese and the way they have Christmas. During the Japanese occupation in World War II, and I'm going from memory on this one, everything is from memory. I have nothing written down. During the Japanese occupation, which is when Japan lost World War II and American forces came in, and it's called the Japanese occupation, and we rebuilt their country. Tried to get everything back to normal for the people, because it was not the people's fault that the government went to war. During that occupation, the troops celebrated Christmas, and the Japanese were not familiar with Christmas, and so they started picking up little Christmas ideas and the decorations and all that. Now they do it, there was a storekeeper, maybe more than one, but the one I heard about, put up, now this isn't recent, this is during the occupation, he didn't have a clue as to what Christmas is, and I'll tell you, you'll be able to tell why I say that. He put in his store window a Santa Claus hanging on a cross. Because he didn't have a clue as to what Christmas is. He knew it had something to do with Santa Claus and it had something to do with Jesus. So that's what he did.
What surprised us, we were in Turkey a few years ago in early January, and Turkey is a Muslim country, but we saw they still had Christmas decorations out and lots of Santa Clauses. And unlike here in the United States where Santa Claus is jolly and roly-poly, their Santa Clauses were very skinny, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, that was weird, wasn't it?
But yeah, it was early in January, but getting toward the middle of the month, they still had Christmas trees up and decorations. Mm-hmm. And it was fun.
Yeah, it was. And we love turkey. Absolutely mm-hmm. love turkey. The people were they were the most hospitable people in any place I've ever been outside the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, we got caught in a torrential downpour on a sidewalk. And so we found a little awning to stand, you know, tiny little awning.
Oh, wasn't the Grand Market?
I don't remember. Maybe it was. I don't remember. But anyway, the point is it was pouring rain, and the man across the street had a little shoe store, tiny little shoe store, and he's waving at us to run into his store and to get shelter. And he knew we were American tourists, and, you know, we're not going to buy shoes, but he did it out of the goodness of his heart, and he brought it in, and he sent his teenage assistant to go out in the pouring rain to come back and bring us
tea,
a special kind of Turkish tea.
Apple tea.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It was apple tea. And I thought that was just so, and that's just one mm-hmm. of many mm-hmm. examples
exactly.
of
exactly.
how the Turkish people would just bend over backwards for us. Should I tell the illegal
story?
I don't know what an illegal story is, but I'm talking about the one in losing all of our stuff in the airplane.
Oh, that's the illegal story.
Oh, the illegal story. Well, that is partially illegal.
You can go ahead and tell that.
When we arrived in Istanbul at the airport, we got off the plane and we're in the lobby, going, you know, past security, leaving, because I won't go into all details, but we realized that
we were changing planes to go to Izmir in Turkey.
Yeah, but my point was we were out of the secure area. We had to go back into a secure area to get a domestic flight to Izmir.
Right.
And we had left on the plane, what was it, Allison?
My purse.
Your purse. With
my little tiny purse.
Most of our money, both of our passports.
Credit cards,
both of our passports. So here we're in Istanbul, Turkey. And we don't have any money or any ID. I guess I had my wallet, so that had something in it. But, I mean, we were frantic. And we went to the Lufthansa Airlines.
Yeah, we were flying on Lufthansa.
Yeah. So we went to their counter to tell them it's that stuff is still on the plane. We need to get to it before the plane takes off and goes somewhere else. And nobody could speak English at the Lufthansa.
That's right.
You know, it's a German
right.
airline. Nobody spoke English there. So a man overheard us, and he turns out he works for the airport. He spoke perfect English. He had a degree from Cornell, I think it was, in hospitality, okay, in tourism. He takes Allison back into a secure area that nobody's supposed to be in unless you've got all sorts of credentials. He takes her back there. And, well, you tell the story. I wasn't allowed back there. So you tell the story.
Yeah, so I got back on the plane, and I went to our seat and picked up my purse.
Yeah, the plane was still there.
But, yeah, I was in a secure area.
And talking
area.
About the friendliness of the Turks, he offered, and he did. He showed us around the town in his car, gave us a private tour. Mm-hmm. We took him out to dinner to thank him. This was just amazing. And he didn't ask any money for it. He was just wanting to be friendly.
Yeah, this was
amazing.
In Istanbul, we were on our way to Izmir. And he said, when you're back in town, back in Istanbul, give me a call. And we did.
We did, and he took us out.
Yeah, and he showed us all around.
Marvelous guy. Well, we have... It's been wonderful. Gary Kaa was fantastic. And I hope that the rejoice part that I read to you from Franklin Sanders gives you some hope. Because as Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your paths. And that's a promise from the Lord. And, Christians have no reason to be discouraged, none at all, because God is in control. And what is happening is his will. And he is bringing all of history to a consummation in the return of Jesus Christ. And that's the story. And as we said, next Saturday from 8 to 10, join us for our special Christmas Eve show. We're going to be looking forward to a visit from Santa. Oh, that reminds me of Mariah Carey. Can sing five octaves.
Yeah.
So I hear her songs are very popular with dogs. Maybe this is one of them.
Join us next week. 8 to 10. Bill and Allison.
Saturday morning.
Hill Country Patriot.
Special Christmas Eve show.
KRNH HD2, Kerrville, K271CH.